was good. Kids, and any of the other kids sitting here want to know how to be a part of that, all you have to do is show up for practice on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock and be a part of the choir practices and come and enjoy your time together, learning how to sing and praise and worship the Lord. And then you'll be a part of the children's choir and the youth choir as well. Youth choir practice at 6 o'clock. And just come and be a part of the practices, and then you can be a part of what's going on here, singing there with the kids. They did a great job. Good to see all of you here. If you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, we want to welcome you. We want to say thank you very much for being with us. We're glad that you are here. We understand fully that you could have went and worshiped at any church this morning, but you chose to be with us, and we are grateful for that. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. Just a few more announcements before we do get started in the Word of God. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Brother Hector, Miss Maria Resto will be starting the Financial Peace University class again. That will be March the 19th, starting at 5 o'clock. March 19th, starting at 5 o'clock. That's a Sunday. And the classes will be on Sunday this time. We've done them on a Monday, or a Thursday. Now we're going to do them on a Sunday at 5 o'clock. There will be a preview of the class on March the 5th at 5 o'clock here at the church. They meet over here in the office building, the second door there to the my right, your left, right beside the Spanish classroom, right beside the church offices. There, that's the Financial Peace University. So if you think you're interested in it, you don't have to sign up for the preview. You just come and look and see what's going on. The preview is on Sunday the 5th. And that is Financial Peace University, Brother Hector and Miss Maria Resto. Be glad to get you any information for that that you need. Just see them. And we'll keep announcing it. It'll be in the bulletin coming up. And then we have the men's and boys' mentoring barbecue this Saturday. There is a sign-up sheet over here for that. If you're one of the men, sign up for what you'll bring. It's there, hot dogs, hamburgers. Now, if you're not involved with the Fishers of Men program, you're welcome to come. You don't have to, you know, men, come see what it's about. So I'm interested if you just want a hot dog. Come and eat a hot dog, man. Just spend the time fellowshipping. That is this Saturday at noon right here at the church. So come and be involved in that. Help us to mentor the young men there. And then, of course, the prayer breakfast is coming up the following Sunday. There's a sign-up sheet over there. Matter of fact, there's sign-up sheets everywhere around here. The only thing we're not asking you is how much you weigh, it seems. We're going to keep that a secret. That's between you and God. Because I'm not putting my weight on there either. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now, last couple of Sundays, Wednesdays, I preached from 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 16. While studying through that, verse 22 has caught my attention. Verse 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk about biblical missions. Biblical missions for the next couple of Sundays. Now, of course, the last Sunday of this month, Brother Urban Clark will be with us, and we'll be having our Scripture Day. That is when we here at the church, we take up an offering, a special offering, not our tithes and not our normal mission, give us a special offering dedicated to the printing ministry. We, for you visiting and some of you new folks that don't know, we actually have a printing press over here in the building to my left. We're able to print 11 different languages, John and Romans and New Testaments. And we print those and we try to get those into the hands of people that will use them for the gospel's sake, either for evangelism or discipleship. And so we do, that's part of what we do around here. And so if you'd like to have a tour of that, see Brother Carl Price or Brother Josh Hornsby. They'll be glad to take you over and let you look at it. See what we're doing over there. But the last month, that last Sunday of this month, we'll have a special speaker in. We'll be speaking on the importance of the Word of God And after the service, we'll have a meal. We'll have a fellowship over here. Bring up your potluck or whatever you want to call it. Bring your whatever specialty you do. If it's fried pork chops, if it's fried turkey, whatever it is, we put it all together and we just enjoy a time of fellowship. That's the last Sunday this month. So building up to that, I want to talk to you about biblical missions. What's the basis of biblical missions? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 22. 1 Corinthians 9, 22. Now the next couple of Sundays may possibly just be more teaching than actually preaching because some of this is new to us. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now understand this, Paul is not saying he's the one doing the saving. He's made that very clear in Scripture. And in this book alone, he says, "I water and Paulus waters, I plant, God brings the increase." He understands where salvation comes from. But he also understands that he is an instrument. He is a tool. He is what God has chosen to use. Hold your place there, if you will. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul is the human writer of Romans, the book of Romans as well. And this is what he says in Romans chapter 10. Just a few pages back in your Bible, you'll find Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. Romans 10:10. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Verse 14. "How then," so there's this question, "how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of God, of good things." And this is what he says here in verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah," that's Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 53, he says this, we'll look at that in a minute. "For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we're talking about biblical missions. And Paul says here, "To the weak," in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Now, all of biblical missions has a foundation. It has a basis. And that foundation is found and given by the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first of the Gospels. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. Matthew 28 and verse number 18. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 18, "For Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," this is a commandment of God, This is what in Christendom we call the Great Commission. It was given because the great God Himself, Jesus Christ, manifest in the flesh, gave a commandment to His people to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matter of fact, in Mark 16:15, He says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Look with me over in Acts chapter number 1. Biblical missions is the thought today, and we're building up to our scripture day. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Now, some of you are very familiar with this because I've used this scripture many times. But do not, please, do not discount the Word of God or discount the Holy Ghost of God to convict you of something that is not fresh to you. The Word of God is still the Word of God, whether it refreshes you or not. Sometimes we're just too carnal to be fresher. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world." So the purpose of biblical missions, the purpose of missions itself and getting the gospel out, is that there might be some that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what Paul says. "I'll become all things to all men that I might save some." Now, many of you are sitting here today who trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior inside a church sitting. Praise God for it. There's some sitting here today that somebody along the way shared the gospel with you. Either they planted a little bit, they watered a little bit, and through that, the Holy Ghost of God began to show you that you had a need for Jesus Christ, and at some time, outside of a church service, you trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There is no wrong place, dear friend, to get saved. It does not have to be in a church city. It does not necessarily have to be on the outside of a church city. It does not have to be shared with you by a preacher. It can be shared, the gospel can be shared with you by any saint of God that comes across your path and shares the gospel with you, and you trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Paul said, "Becoming all things to all people that some might be saved." Paul was willing to use any means necessary to get the gospel message out without compromising biblical principles. That's very important. We've got to understand this. Now, here's the example. I do not want to put Brother Chris on the spot. I didn't ask him about this. Brother Chris is a very reserved person. But when we had the Christmas float, Brother Chris came and approached me. He said, "Pastor, is this something we can do? We can get into, you know, into the details." And we prayed about it, and God led it. I left it all up to Brother Chris, and he oversaw everything. We were at the post office getting ready that morning to go out and get in lines and be our proper place. And I said, "Brother Chris, we need to gather them up. We need to go over a few little things, and we need to pray." And Brother Chris, did you not pray? God, if just one lost person gets saved, or one backslidden Christian turns back to God, it's been well worth it. Was that not your prayer? It wasn't about just having fun on a Christmas float. There was a means. We became all things to all people. And there was a purpose. The purpose was that the gospel might be shared and that God may use us as individuals to do that. How shall they hear unless a preacher be sent? We became all things to all people. We went out and we became part of a parade. But it was not just to pass out candy. If it was only to pass out candy, if it was only to ride on the back of a float, if it was only to hear people say, "Give me a piece, throw me this, give me this," we missed the point.
We missed the point. Paul's goal for all missionary work was that some might get saved. Do you understand he said some? Paul was very understanding and very clear to what God was doing. He had probably heard the teachings about the sower and the sower, how that he was sowing good ground and thorny ground and bad ground. And he understood the reaping. And he said, just if some would get saved. And that was what Paul's heart was for. Now listen, if feeding and clothing the hunger and the homeless is something you want to do, that is great. That is great. But if a church wants to get involved in feeding and clothing and helping the homeless and those less fortunate, there must be an end to the means. And that is that the gospel be shared. Paul said, I'll become all things to all men. But he wasn't going to go around feeding, clothing, housing, parade floats, jump houses, and just let everybody go. Because there has to be a purpose. We have a purpose in our life. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Housing and educating goals. And and Brother Hector doing the Financial Peace University. Miss Lois doing the Beautiful Girlhood. The ladies going to the retreats and the men going to these things and the youth, if we're taking them to camps and we're doing all these things and it's only for fun. That's for outside of Church City. But it's okay to use those things if by using those tools the gospel is shared. Very important. We understand biblical missions. We're not talking about just entertaining and having fun. Hey, you can have all the entertainment and all the fun you want. Matter of fact, I really enjoy and think that church is fun. I enjoy it. I work with the youth on Wednesday night. We have our youth discovery zone and we spend time with them from 6:30 to about 7:20, and I spend time with them. We have a wonderful time. We have a fun time. We have an enjoyable time there. But the purpose there is not just to simply have fun. They can go to the fun spot and have fun. They can go to Disneyland and have fun. They can go to Universal and SeaWorld. And they can go to all these places and they can just have fun. But the purpose is that we might share the Word of God with them. Same thing for Discovery. Matter of fact, the girls have won the two major games this year already. The girls have won every time in the youth zone. And matter of fact, they told me, they said, Pastor, why don't you tell the church, be sure to tell the church that we won. They want you to know that they won the game and had fun. But what's exciting to me is when I ask them a biblical hard question and they know the answer because the Word of God has been shared. Paul said, I'll become all things to all people that some might be saved. Why is this so important? Why was this so important to Paul? First and foremost, we saw the commandment by Jesus Christ who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the main reason, is that we want to be obedient to Christ. But here is biblical reasons beyond that, that it's very, very important. Would you please go with me to Romans chapter 3? Romans chapter number 3. And verse 23. There's this problem that we live with as humans. And this problem is called sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short
of the glory of God. Why is biblical mission so important? Because there is a wage for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see something different? That everybody in the world is a sinner. For all have sinned. You know why it's so important? Because there are people who have taught that they can be good enough to overcome their sins. The Bible makes it very plain in Romans that we cannot. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is nothing that we can do as individuals that's going to help us to overcome this sin problem. Nothing at all. And so the importance of this is we understand that sin is the word that we most like to avoid in Christendom. People get mad, get upset, they get bothered if they are confronted with their sin. Listen, I know I have been confronted with sin, and I don't like it, with personal sin. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the reason that biblical mission is so important is that sin is a problem that's common to all people. There's nobody exempt. That's why the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that you should go into all the world and preach the gospel then that you should start in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. That's why our bus ministry is so important here at the church. And that's why visitation on Sunday on the church programs at the first and third Thursdays, second, fourth Saturdays, those are so important for the survivability of Lock Haven Baptist Church. Because it is commandment of God. Listen, in the Old Testament, God sought out through the nation of Israel for a man that would simply do right. Sister Barbara couldn't find him. He used a woman named Deborah. Because he couldn't find a man to do right. Wow, Brother Coleman, it got doggone quiet around here. That's a biblical fact. I didn't make it up. That's what God said. Because the men would not do what they were supposed to do. God used Deborah. Come on, man. We've got to man up. We've got to start doing what Christian men and godly men and God's men were meant to do. It's more than just a title. You know why we're having such a difficulty in our communities? Because men are not being men. We want to be the boss. But we don't want to be the men. We don't want to man up. We don't want to lead our families in a godly and righteous manner. We'd rather, I don't even know the word to this. What is it whenever those congressmen, they get done speaking, they have 2 minutes and they yield. That's it. We would rather yield our responsibility to our wife. There's a sin problem in this world, dear friend, and we as men must stand up and say, hey, I am a sinner. If I am saved, I am God's child, and I need to be obedient to Scripture, and I need to lead my family in a proper manner. And be where I'm supposed to be as God's man, so that my family at least has a point man to get them going in the right direction. Amen. You say, oh, Pastor, what happens if they don't go in the right direction? Do you think they're going to go in the right direction if you're not going right at all? Do you think? think just by chance they're going to just happen up upon something and do right when they see dad not doing right? No, dear friend. Now, they have a personal responsibility to God to do right. But just like they do, you and I have a personal responsibility to do right. They're not going to be faithful to the things of God if we're not faithful men. They're not going to know that God's important if He's not important to you. We lead by examples. There's a biblical word, ensamples and examples, that's used. They basically have the same terminology. They basically mean the same thing in the Webster Dictionary. And so I've been trying to figure this out. And ensamples, you know, the prefix, it means to enter in. It's in something. Example is outside of something. And I've got to try to figure this out. Like over here in First Thessalonians. My Lord, I haven't even got him out of the introductory yet. Golly, Lord, help me. Go to 1 Thessalonians. You men ought to be saying, "Giddy up, Pastor, go." You ladies ought to be saying, "Whoa, Pastor, stay there. He's talking just to men." What did I told y'all? 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy and his group traveled over to Thessalonica, and they spent 3 weeks there, and they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw people get saved. Now look here what it says in verse 1. Verse 1. The Bible says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church at Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Verse 4. "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. For ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Verse 7. "So then, ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." This is what Paul says about the church of Thessalonica. He said, "You have done your part that we don't even have to speak for you." Do you understand? The Bible says that if we were to shut up our mouths, close up our mouths, and not testify and be a testimony for God, that He would make even the rocks cry out for Him. Paul said, "We don't even have to say anything for you, because you have done your job insomuch that you're an ensample to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." And I began to ponder this and begin to think about this. And I looked it up. Examples, ensamples, all means a pattern to be followed. Basically, that's what the dictionary says. And I was like, well, why are we using two different words? And then I began to figure this out and understand this right there in this passage. Listen to what it says in verse number 7. "So that ye are ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia." There are things that we do that are ensamples or examples or pattern or samples that only believers will even catch and understand. Being a godly witness and sharing the gospel truth is something that lost people cannot and will not ever understand.
to be a good husband because you are God's man, the lost can understand. That is an example. The lost can get that. I'm going to be honest with you. I've met some lost men that have been much better at what they do as a husband than God's people. Oh, my Lord, almighty Brother Josh, they're on me again. They done reeled it up and caught up. I mean, they're like those football players. About to eat him up. Like they done sacked a quarterback. I'm just being honest with you, dear friend. I have been there where I have been side by side doing things that just simple men should do, and lost men do it better than I could do. How in the world could that be? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. It's because I would not yield and submit myself to biblical teaching and thinking. What a shame that somebody who's not even in the fold of God can outclass someone with the Holy Spirit of God living in them. So there's an ensample. That's something that we are to each other. You know why it's so important that we come to church and be faithful to the house of God and we huddle up and we get here? It's so that we can be an ensample to others. Lost people don't know nothing about church. Sunday morning, preacher, you crazy? I've got to go and I need to go and fish and I need to go play golf. And that's what they know. Don't be surprised when you ask somebody that's lost to come to the house of God and they say, oh, when y'all gonna have it? Oh, Sunday morning. Oh, that's too early. Where were you? And then it laid on the conversation, Brother Bill, you're talking with them. And they begin to tell you about a fishing story that begun at 5:30 the last Saturday morning. Too early? I talked to my wife, I said, honey, we need to pray. I don't know if we should do a sunrise service or not. Easter sunrise service or not coming up. I said, I don't know. We need to pray about it. I mean, that's awful early. I mean, some tell me they can't get here at 11 o'clock. We'd do it 6 to sun rising up. Leave me and Brother Jim out there. Leave my wife and kids be at home still. I don't give them a prayer, but maybe it's something God would have to do, because the Bible did say, I'll become all things to all people that I might win souls. Maybe somebody will show up that never showed up but to a sunrise service. So pray for me. I don't know which direction to go, preach. I mean, listen, honestly. But we have to be an example. So the problem is sin. Do you understand this? Let me help you with this. Everybody understand what fornication is, right? Fornication is sex outside of marriage. That's something that's very, it's common. It happens. It's wrong, biblically. It's wrong, biblically. That's sin. Everybody agree? That's something we should not do, right? The Bible says, go ye into all the world and be a witness. That means if I go a year without sharing my faith, is that sin? What if I go a week? What if I only have fornication once in a year? Did I commit sin? See, sin is doing that which I've been told by God not to do. Sin is not doing that which I've been told by God to do. See, we want to jump off on everybody and everybody's sin. But we are God's people. And I'm preaching to God's people this morning. There's a problem in this world, and it's called sin. And sin separated mankind from God. And if without hearing the gospel and without trusting Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, listen to me, dear friend, they are going to spend eternity in hell. They're going to spend eternity in hell. So the problem is sin. Listen, sin is the cause of all kind of serious problems. Would you agree with me that sin has caused you personally, I know it has me, sorrow? Has it caused someone to suffer that you know because of your sinful action against somebody or with somebody or something? Has it caused somebody to suffer? Do you understand that sin causes death?
does. It does. Sin, it kills. People, listen. People who drink and drive are breaking the law of man that is not contrary to God's law. And if they hit somebody and kill somebody, that was sin. It's more than just breaking the law. See, sin's a big problem. To be honest with you, dear friend, the primary reason I see emotional and physical pain in God's people is because they want to play around with sin. They want to just delve around and play with sin. Biblical missions. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to pick this up next week. Biblical missions is based off the Bible. I don't want my opinion. I showed you Matthew 28:18, Mark 16:15, Acts 1:8. All three of those places says we are to be witnesses. Why? Because sin's a problem. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now the good thing is this, dear friend. God Himself fixed the sin problem. He just desires for us to speak about it. And that fix was Jesus Christ and Him alone on the cross of Calvary, who suffered and bore our sins for the world and died, buried, rose again the third day. And if any person, man, boy, girl, believes in Christ, redemption is there. And next week, we're going to talk about redemption. Redemption and pleading on the cause and for the cause of Christ. Let's stand on our feet. I told you this week's going to be kind of teaching. Next week's going to be kind of teaching. I'm trying to prepare our hearts for better and greater things for the year 2017. Biblical missions. That's what we've been thinking about today. Now, I know I didn't spend a whole lot of time on an evangelistic type service, and surely somebody in this here size of a congregation, somebody could be sitting here lost without Christ. I personally got saved on a Wednesday night. My pastor was preaching through an Old Testament book. He wasn't preaching an evangelistic message, but the Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and convicted my heart. And the Bible says that if God will draw you to Him, He will nowise cast you out. If Jesus is, the Word has spoke to your heart this morning, and the Holy Ghost is drawing you to make a decision for Christ, I'm going to be right down here. I'm going to spend a little time praying, but if you need to know Jesus as your Savior, come down. We'll take the Word of God. Listen, our church can't save you. I can't save you, but Jesus can. And we'll share with you what the Bible says about eternity and about Jesus.